But they're missing Rodriguez. They're missing Evander. That's over 40-plus goal contributions. Bad giveaway here.
He is down. The goal is wide open. Anthony on it. Anthony scores!
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Bridges dribbling near midcourt over the timeline. Sharp watching him with 12 to shoot, 3:10 to play.
Obvious guarding cat is a mismatch.
Takes him to the rim. Baseline leaner in and out. Offensive rebound and a nobody in a two-hand jam on Kamara. 10-point Nick lead with 3 minutes to go.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
We cross the five-minute mark left. Auburn with possession with a 9-point lead. Broom's pass. Underneath, taken by Kelly, out to the wing, hands to Broom, hands back to Kelly, behind the back bounce, Broom, open right wing, three, got it! We got a Willis Reed moment here in Atlanta.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City, time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080, The Fan. Good morning. Happy Monday.
What is happening?
How was your weekend?
It was delightful, man. Saturday turned out to be a nice little day.
Was it?
A little sunshine across the region.
Weather-wise, yeah.
Yeah, we were outside a whole bunch. Mm. Didn't watch a lot of sports. Super active.
Really?
Yeah, just kind of moving and grooving about the town,
man. How dare you not be on your couch watching sports all day?
I do have a hard time this time of year. When you get those little nice glimpses of weather, you're just like, dude, I don't
want to be in it.
I don't care, man. Yeah. I'll check the Elite Eight scores from my phone. Both games look like they sucked. I'm going to be outside. I'll be okay.
So you just missed all the action?
No, I didn't miss
Coming
all
up
of
next,
it.
Saturday's recap.
Yeah, you want my recaps of all the three of the four blowouts? I mean, it was a terrible weekend of basketball.
It wasn't a great weekend of
basketball. It was a terrible weekend basketball. So, yeah, I didn't feel like I missed much. I always make sure, just in case they're close, I'll go back and watch them. But you give me a 15-point win or somebody's dominating the entire time, you're not getting my time on a Saturday.
I will tell you, I missed the Houston-Purdue thing live.
Oh, yeah, the inbounds pass. That was one of the few things I caught live this weekend. That was late enough Friday night that I was already watching.
Well, luckily on YouTube, you can just rewind TV.
Yes, you can.
At any given point.
You can also watch the game from all the key plays.
So we had,
break them all down for you.
We had the game on the big screen, and I'm like, Houston's up 10. This game's over.
The game's done.
Pretty sucks.
Yeah.
So I went outside, and I was playing basketball, and I came back in, and I checked my phone first, and I saw your text, sweet inbounds.
That was a nice play.
And I'm like, what the hell is he texting about? Wait. And I look up, I rewind. Oh my God.
Pretty badass. That was a pretty cool play.
They did it.
That was one of my regrets of the weekend, was that that wasn't like the last game last night. Like, that ended up being the Friday night moment. That's almost, it's almost washed out from the rest of the things that happened in the weekend. That was one of the coolest things that happened. That and Jokic hitting a one-handed three-quarter court length shot on Friday. Like, just willy-nilly chucking it one-armed and making it. Like, I want to do 20 minutes on that today. Can we talk about that? That was bananas.
I saw that, and I just laughed because I keep thinking about you next year randomly purchasing Nuggets League Pass.
Just to watch him every night.
Well, I mean, you got the antenna. And who knows what the plays are going to be next year on
TV. Can I do team by team on NBA? Can you do that?
Yes.
You could just buy one team's?
That's the beauty of the
League Pass. So just one team's games? Or do I have to buy the whole league?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to buy the whole league.
I get the league pass.
Yeah.
The whole league.
You want to watch the entire league.
Yeah, I can do multiple games at one time.
I got no interest in watching the Orlando Magic.
I'm okay.
I don't need
to
watch them.
Anything.
You're
not scoring any
Charlotte,
points.
I don't need to see them. Washington, Utah.
Look, half the league, you don't need to really watch.
A lot of
if we're
teams
being
in
honest.
I got to really care.
Atlanta, some nights. Atlanta, no. Some other nights.
I'm out on Atlanta. Philadelphia. I don't need to watch them. The Nets.
I do wonder if the Nuggets have something like Blazer Vision, though, because they have.
I would buy that.
A worse TV situation than us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if people have known this. Altitude, I don't know if they're still on Altitude this year or if it was up until last year.
I think they're still on Altitude.
Was basically not accessible for like 80% of the city.
For like anybody in the area.
Nobody could watch it.
Bananas that the team would do that, but you know, dollars and cents are all that matter.
So if there's a Nugget Vision... Yeah, I would say, why don't you just get that?
Yeah, I would. It looks like they are still on Altitude.
Yeah.
It finally reached an agreement with Comcast. This was legitimately a month ago.
Just became accessible.
They have not carried Altitude Sports since 2019. That's so if you have Comcast in that area, you've missed an NBA championship run with your Denver Nuggets.
Well, no matter what you thought about the Comcast deal with our Blazers, it was infinitely worse in Denver than we had it with them.
Yes, it's just horrible. I mean, that's horrible. deal. We had to pay last year, what, an extra, if you wanted the sports tier package. Now I already had it.
Oh, the extra $10 a
month, You had to pay an extra 10 bucks a month or whatever. But at least it was accessible if you wanted to be able to do that. This was not even accessible. And they're a good team that's worth paying the extra money in order to watch.
Yeah,
that's the bananas thing about it. Like, they've been one of the best run organizations in the league. I would watch a Nuggets game every chance I get. I will turn on a Denver Nuggets game. He's that good. He's that can't miss for me now.
He's just so funny to watch because it just doesn't make sense when you see him moving.
He is one of a kind. And he's the reason, like, whenever we get into these all-time great discussions, I always chuckle. Like, the Steph Curry one we did recently and the number of threes that he's knocked down, like, one of the greatest players in the history of the league. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that I love to point to and be like, well, what do we do with Jokic?
We say he's one of the greatest players to ever exist.
Is he top 10 yet? Guy's got three MVPs, an NBA title. Wait till the end of this season. Does he need more titles to be top 10?
Is he top 10 for you?
I don't know, but he's encroaching on that territory for me. I think he's like genuinely one of the greatest players in the history of the league.
I find the top 10 thing, I know we joked about doing it in July when it's absolutely dead during the All-Star weekend.
Jokic is going to be in my top 10. Screw it, dude. He's going to be in my top 10.
There's just so many eras in players. Like, how do you separate it?
The guy's a walking triple-double. He's a seven-footer. Well, like, he's a dynamite shooter. Like,
Bill Russell's going to be probably in a couple top 10s on this show, but it's like, we give Bill Russell the top 10, but then we crap on the rest of his era.
We do. Like, the 50s were not.
Like, you got more than one 50s player in there? That's ridiculous.
Right. How many guys in the NBA can you name from that era?
He didn't do it all by himself on those teams.
No, they were pretty good basketball teams.
No, he didn't.
They won like 17 straight NBA titles.
But we'll give him that. Hey, we give him the pass. Nobody else gets it. What about Wilt?
Player coach for the last two of those titles, which might put him in a little different class.
Yes, pretty cool.
I think Lenny Wilkins is the only other one that
I think we're going to get player coach baseball situation at some point.
We'll get a manager in baseball, just like the first baseman. All right, hey, get war. Hey, right hand. Oh, we need a right hander warming up.
Why can't you do it?
Somebody out there, get loose.
My team played the Padres for a 4-game set this week to start their season.
Yeah,
they lost all four. But what was funny about last night that I chuckled
right
with?
In the butt.
No runs the last two games of that series.
No, it's really a rough start for the old Brock. Now you get to head to L.A. It's okay. The Dodgers can't beat anybody
now.
Dodgers Stadium. Now you get easier.
Let's go right up.
Doesn't matter what the Dodgers do for six innings. They'll figure it out at the end.
Yeah, and our bullpen will blow it. But what was funny about last night is I was like sitting there and it's 1-0. And I'm like, well, my team's going to lose this game. I know this team already. And we're four games into the season.
There you go. Sunday night baseball, too.
I learned during that game, the fourth of the 4-game set, I learned who the Padres manager was. And I, right now, on the show live, I can only tell you, I'm pretty sure his last name was Hilt.
Yes.
H-I-L-D-T.
Yeah.
Isn't it Schilt?
Is it Schilt or Hilt?
Yeah. No, it's Schilt.
Schilt. Mike Schilt.
There you go. Don't even remember.
He was the manager of, I believe, if I'm not wrong.
Cardinals.
Remember
he?
When you guys had that game against the Cardinals where you gave up like 17 runs in the first inning?
Playoff game. Who could ever forget?
The deciding game
five.
We're
live on the air. I'm like, cool, it's over in the first inning.
He scored like six in the bottom of the first, and you're like, all right, well, I guess the season's over. He was the manager of that Cardinal team.
There you go.
They fired his ass, and he ended up in San Diego.
And now he's good again.
San Diego.
I have no idea how we do any of the coach-manager stuff in baseball. I don't think we do.
None of it makes sense.
No. Say that team's got a good payroll and they're good.
Yeah, it's usually the way it works.
That and torpedo bats.
It's all you need right now.
Can't wait to talk about that today.
I'm going to scream at the top of my lungs about a baseball bat. What happened to the game I love?
What was wrong with just corking them back in the day?
What's wrong with steroids?
What's wrong with steroids?
What's
wrong
for
with
Sammy?
Steroids were very entertaining to watch.
What's funny is I saw
now we're going to be like, but this is actually legal. It's actually baseball approved it. It's okay.
I saw a throwback baseball opening day commercial, and it was Nike. And my daughter watched this one with me and was like, Dad, Nike used to do really good commercials. And I was like, yeah, I know. They used to do, And we're watching this, and it's all the baseball players, and they're singing Take Me Out to the
Ball Game.
Yeah. But they're doing it with, like, Griffey, and then Ichiro, and then, like, Hispanic player. And it's just, like, in different languages as they sing along.
Ah, look at that. The international
Hudge
game
is in that singing it. And I'm like, Royce, as I pointed to the screen.
It's there. Right.
But what was funny is it ended with McGuire grabbing his bat. And I just remember it was like 2000 or 2001, I think the commercial was.
Pretty big guy. Pretty big
guy. He's grabbing the bat. He's just like,
Paul Bunyan.
Just ending the song, and you're like, God, I miss these days. I miss the juice.
How high was his voice, too, at that point? How small were his balls? Oh. They probably shrunk. Take me out to the ball game.
He was very
Is that Mark McGuire right now?
Very top-heavy. Big, broad shoulders and back.
I don't want to look past. I want to look to the future. Yeah. Okay, I'm here to talk about the future, not to talk about the past.
Sadly, no Piazza back knee on there.
Ah, no back knee?
He didn't
Hall of Fame
wrong.
Back knee? None of that
he
on there quite yet? No,
don't
no Big Poppy?
It.
None of his juices
Poppy
in there?
Poppy wasn't quite
Poppy yet.
Poppy hadn't popped yet.
That was 04.
That was 04, so Poppy
At that point,
was...
he was still hitting a .196 probably with 7 home runs a year.
Probably for the Mariners, the Twins minor league affiliate, just doing God knows what.
Before the stars aligned, and he just figured out how to hit a baseball a little bit further. Nothing changed.
Exactly.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
Hall of Famer right
Exactly.
There. Get that guy at Cooperstown now.
It was a nice throwback commercial because I think I remember seeing it live on TV like, this is getting me excited.
We used to have a really good era of baseball commercials. The Mariners were some of the best back in the day. Their Soto Mojo commercials were great.
I loved the Soto Mojo.
The Chicks Dig the Long Ball with Glavin and Maddox is one of the all-time classics.
Sports commercials in general just not quite what they used to be. I don't know what it... I can't put my finger on it either. It's not like... I think that I don't think they're awful, but like there was something about the way they used to do commercials that I enjoyed a little more.
Now we get what a pro wants, what a pro needs.
That's what I'm saying. Is
7,000
like,
times during
if there
the
was
NCAA
singing
tournament.
In a sports athlete commercial, it wasn't Michael Jordan singing like Mike. It was a child.
It was somebody
and
else
he's just dunking on everybody and then drinking Gatorade.
That Gatorade looks so good, didn't it?
It did.
Looks so refreshing.
The glass bottle Gatorade always looks like it's the best tasting Gatorade.
I'm gonna go buy condensation that. Beads off the bottle.
There was a condensation beads on his head, and then they were also on the bottle, and you're just like, God, I want a Gatorade
Even
now.
Gatorade sweats.
He's working so hard, his Gatorade. That's why he's the GOAT, his Gatorade sweats. I'm that way with Coca-Cola when I see it in a grocery store. Like, if I see the glass bottle, every time I see it, I'm tempted to buy one.
The glass bottle one's better.
It's just like, I want
to. No, I think they've actually done studies.
Glass bottle Coca-Cola.
Aren't the glass bottle ones... I might be wrong on this, but I think they're from Mexico, so they have the real cane sugar.
There's literal cocaine in there still? Is that what you're telling me?
I don't know if there's that.
But the real sugar, like the realest of sugar is in it, whereas the cans are processed somewhere else.
So
I believe.
That was the best.
We pack a punch in the glass.
Back in the Wayback Machine. Yeah, the old Coke vending machines that actually got the 16-ounce glass bottles.
And then they had the little opener in it.
So good.
Boy, that's right in your wheelhouse there. We missed that window by a couple years.
Back there
years.
With black and white TVs and rabbit ears.
Man, there was nothing better than clearing that picture,
that's
though.
Right.
When
move
you
up,
move those
move
ears.
Left,
no, stop, stop,
left,
stop, stop.
Right there, right there, right there. Stop. Hold. Stay. Don't move.
We got the picture.
It was like you saw a T-Rex.
Don't move.
Don't move.
You can't see us. We don't move.
Everybody freeze. Get the tinfoil out.
I had those days. I miss those days.
The nostalgia days. Kids these days just don't understand, man. They don't get it.
They
don't get it.
They don't have any understanding.
Channel 3 for video games.
I miss the old days for my kids' sake. They could really get what it was like. Oh, my God.
And you just watch whatever you want on your phone.
My kids are watching one of these cartoon shows on Disney, and it was announced on our spring break. We were watching the Disney Channel, the apartment. New episodes were coming out Saturday. And so Friday night, I'm going to bed. It's probably like 11-ish when I'm passing out. I wake up. I slept in a little bit. I wake up. I see that my child had texted me at 12:15 at night.
Ooh.
Can you record the new episodes? Well, at this point, I've already missed the start of the new episode.
Right.
And I just wanted to go, you know, I would have debated murdering a kid across the street that I grew up from, if you gave me the ability to record the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes, no, you're never going to miss an episode. You record it whenever you
want. If you just say, Brandon, you can record this show. You do not need to wake up at 6:30 in the morning on Saturdays.
But somebody somewhere has to die.
I would have said, give me the knife and just show me the technology and I'll figure it out.
I'll do this.
And my kids have access to YouTube TV. It's actually quite easy. You go to the program, you click the main button, it says a plus button, boom, add the library. There we're done.
It's unlimited space, too. You can record whatever you want.
But instead, they're texting me at midnight, can you do this for us for a show we want to watch, not you? And I want to be like, just learn. Like, just play with the system and see and figure it out, because I did.
Take that leap of faith. It's not that difficult.
I'm an idiot. I am actually stupid.
Very easy to figure
out. And I figured all that stuff out.
Oh, you just click the button and then it records.
I figured out how to record on tape bitch. Do you know what that was like?
If you could record stuff on VHS tapes, you knew what you were doing.
I got screamed at because I taped over a monster truck show my stepdad was racing in.
How dare you?
So I could watch a Fox NFL 49ers
football.
And it's like blurry, and then here's Pat Summerall and John Madden live from 3Com Park, and it's just like monster truck cut off in John Madden. What the hell are you doing, Brandon?
See, this guy right here, he's just going to loop around to the backside, and then he's going to make the tackle.
I almost beat Gravedigger in that video. Yeah, but you didn't. You lost for the 28th straight time.
It was the second place VHS tape. Deserved the first place NFL team.
If I could figure that out, yeah. These kids should be able to figure out how to
kids
record
these days,
things.
Man, they're all soft. They're all Charmin soft, damn it.
Terrible. Asking me questions. Dad, do you know how that you have the internet on your phone. Google it's it. In your hand. Google it.
The worldwide answers are right there for you.
Because I'm just going to tell you, I don't know anything. I am, again, stupid.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm an
idiot.
I had
to wait for a newspaper to show up. So.
Oh, my God. I used to steal our high school newspaper because my mom had to drop me off at 6 a.m. at the high school. Yeah. So I'd sneak in. I'd get to the gym. I'd put up shots for half hour. And I'd just go steal the newspaper. The security guard used to get mad at me. Brandon, is that our paper?
No.
No.
My
got
mom
it
bought it for me.
Yeah, I got it on the way in.
Brandon, you live in a trailer. I got to go.
We found it. Found it outside.
Bye. You ever been made fun of by the security guard at your school because how poor you were?
No.
It's not fun.
Not a good time.
It's not great, Bob.
Not a fun memory.
Happy Monday, everybody.
Hey, welcome back in.
I miss therapy.
We got to go back in this week after a week off?
Yeah, we might.
Yeah,
who
we'll
knows?
See.
You know?
See what's going on tomorrow.
Could be a long week. I don't know. Well, all right. We should get it going. I'm just babbling now. Happy Monday, everybody.
Welcome back.
I feel like I've silenced you guys. Just all alone in a room screaming.
Jerry Seinfeld, like, yeah, good luck with all that.
I can't wait for your kid to also reach this age where you just have a nine-minute uninterrupted rant about how lazy they are.
Yeah, it absolutely will take place.
Oh, you're just a couple years away.
I know. It's right around my corner.
Well, we got a lot to get to today. Let's start from the weekend festivities in the NCAA tournament. We'll start there. Dirt and Spray, good to be with you. We get to go next on The Fan. Well, we have a first since 2008 and a second ever in NCAA history. We've got four number one seeds in the Final Four. The Final Four is set. It's Houston, Florida, Duke, and Auburn are your number one seeds, all reaching the Final Four after their weekend festivities.
Who doesn't love a good chalk Final Four, huh?
Everybody made fun of Jay Williams. He had chalk. He was right.
He was right. It's still douchey to pick number one seeds to make your Final Four,
Why
though.
Why is it douchey? They're the best teams.
Yeah, try it. Roll the dice a little bit. Come on, take a gamble. That's not fun for anybody.
Is the objective to win the bracket? Or?
Yeah, it's only happened one other time in the history, so it's not like this happens all the time, and it was a smart thing
to
do.
So why do we
it
make fun of the people that do that?
Because it's douchey. Put a three seed in there. Live a little bit, man. Take a risk every once in a while. Get out of your house. Touch some grass. Put a four seed in your Final Four.
Unless you're in a bracket contest with $1,000 on the line and you've got
exactly.
all four ones.
Then it worked out for you.
I tried to put a four seed in, and they were inept against Duke. So.
I put a 5 and 6 in, and the 6 lost in the Sweet 16, and the 5 just got bludgeoned.
I had a 2 and a 4 in there.
I had a 2 winning the national title, and they lost in the second round. I did it better than Jay Williams,
yeah,
damn it.
This show's terrible. Did not score at
any
all
stupid
yesterday.
Second grader could just say, give me the number one seed. That sounds great. No, live a little bit. I don't care. All these people that are, Lucy Burge, friend of the show, was doing this yesterday. It's still douchey. Don't put number one seeds in your Final Four.
We might be in dead last of all the shows on The Fan.
Are we in our bracket fill out?
In our bracket contest? If we did show bracket contest?
Yeah. We would be pretty bad. Yeah.
It'd be pretty awful.
Mine has been carnage.
I know that Houston-Purdue game. Purdue came back at the end there. And as I saw it a little later than everybody else, and they get the game winner on an inbounds pass, it was a good play. As somebody who coaches just girls basketball and watches a lot of coaching stuff, fascinated how Purdue's defense just reacted so...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, they had a guy cut through the lane, and they had a guy that left
the
screen
the
inbound
setter,
passer.
The guy that went on the opposite side of the passer, like, they reacted so quick to that.
They had so much misdirection
on that
out-of-bounds
off.
Play, and it was gorgeous. I loved it.
It was a good play, no doubt. And so Kelvin Sampson gets to his third Final Four, his second as Houston coach. Here is Kelvin Sampson's takeaway on Houston reaching this mark.
Really proud of our kids. You know, we're playing a tough conference. I think going 19-1 in the Big 12, 10-0 on the road prepared us for this. I think the reason why we've been so good over the years is we've developed a great culture that our seniors adopt, make sure that our young kids and new kids buy into it. We're kind of a homegrown program. You know, we have a really good team. I think being humble and staying hungry every day has really helped us. I'm more excited than I'm letting on right now. I'm really excited. I'm really happy for these kids. But it's their moment, and just happy for them.
I'm happy for him. He is somebody that's been coaching since the early 80s as a head coach. He kind of got ran out of the sport because he was, quote, dirty. Now look at the sport.
I think it was sending text messages to players in a window where you couldn't send text messages or something along those lines.
How dare he? Get him out of the sport for a decade. Yeah. And then he comes back. He goes to Houston, and I've mentioned this dream book I'm reading. It's funny just reading that in this moment when they're good, because they were good when Akeem and Drexler were there.
They were.
And man, they sucked for a long time. They have been terrible. And then he comes and coaches them, and now they're back to the top of the sport, and they're in the Final Four. So I was really happy for Calvin Sampson as Houston, though they win in an ugly way, and it's primarily with their defense, get to a Final Four.
Well, and that wasn't the case against Tennessee in the Elite Eight. They're up by 20 at halftime, and that was one of the most unwatchable games of the NCAA tournament.
15 first-half points.
That is the lowest point total for a number two seed in a half in the history of the tournament. Not in the Elite Eight, not of any round, any number two seed ever in the NCAA tournament. Nobody has scored 15 points in a first half.
So I know you didn't see this, but I wanted to bring this up because, and thankfully Tennessee scoring 15 in the first half enables me to do
this. They were down 34-15 at halftime.
I'm gonna venture to say you did not watch the women's tournament game between the 3 and the 2 seed.
Did not happen.
Nope. In the Sweet 16.
Did not happen.
Good. I did, and I wish I didn't. Did you know the final score of Duke North Carolina women's in the tournament was 47-38 was the final. Here's a mind-blowing stat for you. The game started with Carolina 11-0 run.
And I'm assuming they ended up losing
47-38.
So they scored 27 points the rest of the game.
That's a tough watch. Tough watch right
there. Tough watch.
This was maybe the worst tournament game I've seen. And then Tennessee showed up and said, we've got 15 first half points. Here you go.
This was a game I was like, oh, that's right. The games start earlier today. I forgot because the Saturday games were late. So I forgot they started earlier. We got back from a walk. I'm like, hey, that's right. Houston, Tennessee. And I flipped it on and it was 27-8 or 27. And I was just like,
yeah, Tennessee could not
I'm not sticking around for this.
Not against
Houston. I'll check the score in like an hour and see what it is. See if we get a miraculous comeback, which did not happen. Sampson also told a great anecdote, too, where I had forgotten that he was, for a brief moment, the interim coach of the Rockets in the NBA. And he told a story about how when he was named the interim coach, he called his dad to be like, hey, you know, just want to give you a heads up. I'm the interim coach of the Houston Rockets. Pretty cool thing. And his dad basically told him, get the hell out. You belong as a college basketball coach. And then died like 2 days later. And he always viewed it as
Last words, get the hell out.
He was like, I've always viewed it as like divine intervention. And that's when he was like, all right, I'm going back to college. And that led him to, obviously, shortly thereafter, taking the Houston job. He's been on some great runs with them. They've been stymied a little bit in the Sweet 16 the last couple of years. So very cool to see. And that game sucked. I didn't watch hardly any of it. But very cool to see them blow out Tennessee and make it back to the Final Four.
I kept track of it. I didn't watch the second half.
No.
First half was enough. I'm like,
you score 15 points and a half, I'm not watching you.
Yeah.
I'm not. That's my cutoff. That's my limitation.
I am happy for him. It's not the most, you know, sexy style of basketball that I would want to watch. But again, anytime there's a lifer like that that's been coaching that long, it's now his third Final Four ever. He's on the doorstep. Who he plays and the other three teams that in the Final Four, let's get to that. We got some of the coaching reaction from it. And I want to ask you, who is the rooting interest for people of the remaining four teams? This tournament's been very highly viewed.
Yes, it's a very weird thing where it's like, on the one hand, you have to give it credit that people are paying attention and watching in numbers they haven't done in a long time. It's also been a really bad tournament.
I don't think it's been a great tournament whatsoever.
I'm hoping the Final Four saves us because we get clearly the four best teams in the country.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been that entertaining. It's a very weird thing.
Yeah. Yes.
And I don't know how to square that. Like, why are more people watching now?
What is it about this year's versus, like, the last 25 to 35 years? Because I think he's the highest rated since 93.
Yes. Long time.
I mean, that's a long ass time. That's so like what still is it about this year?
Peak of college basketball in the early 90s.
I can't quite put my finger on it, but let's talk about the other three teams in the Final Four as Houston moves on. We'll get to it coming up next. Dirt just alerted me to something a little problematic. Saturday right now in our area is supposed to be 72. The Final Four games start at 3:30. And I just...
Sitting inside on a 70-degree day in April?
Well, it's opening weekend for the Hops. We got a 4:05 first pitch, so the DVR is going to be working overtime.
Well, it's our last week. It's one of our last weekends for a couple months because we got spring basketball going. So, like, we're planning to go to the coast Saturday because of the weather. Yeah.
I'm playing... I saw the weather. I woke up Saturday morning. I always look ahead a week to see what it's going to look like. Yeah. Saw that it was going to be in the 70s and immediately called a local golf course and set a tee time.
There I think go, the so. DVRs are going to be real active in America.
Yeah.
DVRs yeah, I mean, just dude, it's one thing area, in the summer when you're used to the warm weather. When you get these little pockets of 70 degrees in March or April, I'm not going to be inside. It's not happening. No. I don't care what sporting event it is.
Yeah, no.
I missed Giants opening day on Thursday because we went to the zoo. The weather wasn't even that nice, but it was like, I just want to get out of the house.
Oh, you saw the baby elephant.
We saw the baby elephant.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Teddy loved it. He loved it. The little elephant was cuter than hell.
Okay, Teddy loves anything. Teddy loves bubblegum underneath the bench. What did Dirt think of the baby
elephant? It was a beautiful baby elephant. Cute little guy. Or girl. Whatever it is. It's a baby elephant.
I feel like you are so dead inside and you actually don't care. You're like, oh yeah, it's a little baby thing.
I mean, it's a little baby elephant, you know? It's cute. It's very cute.
There you go.
You want further breakdown than that? You want me to provide deeper analysis of the baby elephant? What else would you like to know? What his favorite food is? I don't know. I didn't get to talk to the trainer.
Hey.
Hey. Yeah, he loves hay. Yeah.
You just sound like somebody that isn't convincing me that you really think it's cute.
I mean, it's cute. It's a baby elephant. It's a cute baby elephant. That's all I got for you.
Thank you.
The otter was the best. Otters are the best.
Otters are always the best.
Otters and the penguins were the MVPs.
I just stand there and watch. Yeah. Oh, I hate the penguin cage. Dude, it's so gross.
Look, it stinks. It doesn't smell great. The baby elephant's fine. It just, there's too many people around the baby. It's a baby elephant. So it just was like a huge, and I'm like,
ah. That's the first baby. One that's right. ever been at the Oregon
it's
Zoo,
it's been elephant. It's like, all right.
That's
I'm,
what they
I'm
do
50 yards
there.
Away. Like, all right, there it is. Okay, it's walking in between the legs of the bigger one. All right, let's go see something else. Get out of here. There was two adult elephants out on the outside. Nobody out there. You get close contact to two adult elephants out on the outside, not inside the playpen. I'm like, nobody out here looking at these guys. Let's go look at the bigger elephants.
I knew he was really in there. I just had to wait a minute to get him out. He went from like,
for
oh, it's
moving
so cute.
That, by
and
the
then
way.
He's like, and he's like, it's a baby elephant. Who cares? Move on.
Too many people, man.
Well, I move it, but I can't. It's...
I know.
It's
I feel like
thing.
I'm like Tim Allen in Tool Time talking
Wilson?
To my neighbor
yeah.
over the fence.
Sorry about that.
It's not your fault. It was poor engineering, but...
Well, he's no longer with us. You know, despite his name having a lot of success at Florida, Todd Golden and the Gators are chomping their way back to the Final Four. First time in 14 years. I am really surprised... Didn't have a guy named Todd being able to get to the Final Four.
Todd's in the Final Four.
He's defied the odds.
He also looks like he's 17. He's which is really weird. Every time I see him do an interview, I'm just like, God, how old is this guy?
How old is he? He's got to be in his 30s.
Or 42.
He was
or
one
something.
Of the first hires, ironically, of Pearl at Auburn. He was like an analyst or something. Mm-hmm. He was one of the first guys that he brought on.
Oh, he's been remarkable. Here is Todd Golden, Florida, getting to the Final Four.
First, I want to give a lot of credit to Texas Tech. I thought they played a great game today and controlled different facets of the game that we usually do. And, you know, they had our backs against the wall. I think we were down 10 under the four-minute media. But credit to our players and our staff. I thought we did a great job staying the course, not getting too high, not getting too low. I'm not trying to make hero defensive plays down the stretch. We executed our fouls. And these two guys next to me made some big-time shots. And at the end of the day, you know, great teams are as good as their players lead them. And Walter's done a great job all year that way. Tommy's played his tail off for us across every game this season, and really proud of these guys for the way they stepped up and made two big threes each down the stretch. I think we finished the game on a 17-4 run that allowed us to win and would not have happened without these guys next
I don't know how the hell they won that game. They were down 10 with like 3 minutes to go. I'm like, well, this thing's over. Texas Tech got them.
It's the only good game of the weekend.
It was in terms of the comeback. You know, Duke is going to be the favorite, I think, for most, and we'll get to some Shire audio here in a second. If we could gamble on this, not going to a casino, but on our phones, they're 3-1 in most books.
Yeah.
And I we'll see what happens this week. Auburn, Jani Broome with the injury, how serious that is. We'll see if Houston can maybe, with an experienced group, pull Duke down to their kind of game. Florida Duke collision course is what it kind of feels like to me. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I really think this team's going to win it. I'm just going to go on a limb here and say I'm taking a one seed to win the national championship.
How bold of you.
I know.
What a hot take today. Well, you know, there's only one of... Oh, wait, no, there's a couple. You got a few to choose from in the Final Four. Look, how did they win? Texas Tech missing the front end of multiple one-and-one free throw situations and Florida hitting down, knocking down three threes in the last 90 seconds of the game or whatever it was. Like, you got to make your free throws, man. I learned that the hard way watching Oregon fall to Arizona in the second round. Got to make your free throws in that spot. If Texas Tech makes their free throws, they maybe go on to win the game, but it just swung so much momentum in the direction of Florida. There was a take from Jay Wright late in the week last week that I actually appreciated, because so much of this tournament we have spent, this is largely what we do as sports fans and media members now, just complaining, right? Oh, transfer portal's out of control. Where's the Cinderella? It's the death of the sport that I love. I feel like there's been a lot of complaining along the way about the NCAA tournament. And that's why the ratings have been so interesting, because everybody's telling me the tournament's dead, but more people are watching it than ever. It just is a weird thing to square in your head. But Jay Wright had a take, I want to say, before the games tipped off on Thursday or Friday, where he basically went the other way. He was like, man, this is awesome. This is more talent collected at the top that we have ever had. This is the best Elite Eight we've ever had. When you look at the teams, the experienced players, where these guys,
Ken Pom ratings are through the roof of all the Elite Eight teams.
And so that was the thing that I will complain about out of the weekend. And I'm hoping that this Saturday saves it for us, and I'll DVR both games because I'm going to be playing golf. I'll be able to catch a second game live. I was hoping for, man, we finally got the cream of the crop. Here in Elite Eight matchups of like, dude, Bama and Duke's going to be such a good game. Duke wins by 20. Never really was in doubt. They were up by 10 essentially the entire first half, pulled away in the second half, wasn't close. You did get the good Florida-Texas Tech game where you're like, oh my God, is a one seed going to go down finally? Texas Tech is in control the entire game. Florida comes alive at the end. They win it. That was the one game of the weekend.
Houston-Purdue did come down to the wire.
That's true. But I just like the Houston-Tennessee game this weekend. That was the Elite Eight game. The Purdue game was the Sweet 16 game, right? So you had good games in the Sweet 16. There were a couple of them. And you get Tennessee scoring 15 points in the first half. And then Michigan State-Auburn was, I watched most of that game. There was never any doubt to me.
Auburn was up, and you're like, they're better.
Michigan State would pull within seven. You're like, all right, maybe there's something. No, there goes Auburn on another run, or Broome came back in, and he got hot. Michigan State
could have lost their last game, too. Like, they...
Very well could have.
Richardson was really good in that game, and they hit a couple big shots.
That was my Auburn's disappointment. Better. It felt like this is finally, all right, all this chalk to this point, let's get the cream of the crop. These should be awesome games. Bama-Duke was the game I was most excited for going into the weekend.
Yeah.
And that game was, watching Cooper Flagg is fun.
It was disappointing that it became what it became.
You're like, dude, Alabama just knocked down 25-3. Like, they're scoring 120 points a game in the tournament.
I want to ask you, what do you think the reason is for people... with the uptick in viewership? Why is this tournament so different since 1993 than all the other tournaments? You go through that. That's such a long period of time.
Yeah.
How many great stories and teams and players? We had back-to-back champions in there. We had a Khalid El-Amin in there. We had a Mateen Cleaves in there. Like, you have some great stories.
Undefeated teams. Kentucky trying to go undefeated. Gonzaga trying to go undefeated.
And this one, more than all of those, is what trumps it. And I'm just curious what you guys think. Is it Cooper Flagg? Is it NBA fans watching this at a level they don't normally watch the sport? I can't put my finger on it because I have complaints like everybody else. But it also just sometimes this is what tournament can give you. Middle of the road, it's a tournament. And for the second time ever, one seeds are in the Final Four. I can't quite identify what I think it is that people are watching this tournament more so than all the others.
Man, it's not just a tournament thing. Sometimes you turn on a Super Bowl and it's 34-0. You're like, whoa, all right. So 100%. That's the end of football season.
And that was the highest rated Super Bowl of all time.
It was. So you don't necessarily need close games. I don't know if it's the accessibility of it. It's really hard to square. One listener texted in and thought maybe it's because everybody's brackets are alive because people usually pick chalk brackets.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So maybe your bracket challenge is still alive because you had all ones, twos, and threes in your Elite Eight and Final Four.
Yeah.
And so going into the weekend, you were still alive. I do think Cooper Flagg plays a big part in it. I think Duke being the team that Duke is good for college basketball. Mm-hmm. Whether you're weirdly rooting for them now or still anti-Duke or a Duke fan, they draw eyeballs and attention to the sport maybe more so than any other program can in the country. Outside of that, man, I got nothing. It's one thing if you get you know, crazy chaotic finishes throughout, and it leads to this narrative like, man, what a great turn. Oh, another buzzer beater. Another overtime. We've had one buzzer beater and I believe one overtime game, if I'm not mistaken, to this point. So that's it. It hasn't been the close competitive
like
nature
of the game.
Like
a true buzzer beater at the buzzer, yes.
True buzzer beater. We've had some late shots, but only one true buzzer beater at the end of the
and
game.
And that happened about a week ago. That entire program's been gutted. The coach is gone. The players are gone. See you later.
Yeah, but transfer portal, you know how we can't tamper with players. That guy wasn't interviewing with Villanova the entire time he was on a run in the NCAA tournament.
He said, I don't know who my agent's talking to. I'm like, buddy, he represents you. How do you not know who he's talking
to? Well, he's openly complaining about the NIL budget of Maryland. I wonder why he would do that. Oh, man. Maybe it's because he's, you know, getting ready to leave the job.
We'll get back into the tournament. Is Duke the consensus pick for everybody? I think they are.
My takeaway is I just
look unstoppable.
Nobody's beaten Duke. That's been since watching the Arizona game, that's just like nobody's touching this team.
They look unstoppable.
And weirdly, I'd be okay with it. And I don't know how to maybe I need to see a therapist.
John
to talk
Shire's
about that.
A good coach. he's on the doorstep of doing something that, you know, people. You don't want to be the guy that follows the guys, what they always say.
He's doing just fine for himself right now.
He's doing A-OK so far as Duke is in the Final Four. We'll have more on them and the tournament at some point. A lot to get to in the second hour. We'll get to that. But coming up next, are we going to hear about this again and the explosion that happened over the weekend? That's next. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. Thanks to a listener, we had forgotten about Todd Golden's off-court antics with UF women students.
Yeah, that one flew under my radar. That was just in November. It wasn't even that long ago.
Well,
that was like the start of the year. He was almost fired.
It was football season, so I don't know if I even saw that story, to be honest with you.
I remember it being a footnote that I think we brought up or at least saw a headline of. But yeah, they cleared him of all wrongdoing, they say.
Pretty big story came out Friday right after our show. Hashtag great timing.
Usually the way it works.
The Grizzlies fired Taylor Jenkins with 9 games to go in their season.
We all saw that coming. Yeah. Pretty easy, pretty obvious thing to see coming, right?
It is not Luka being traded for parts type shock, but it's not very far behind of what?
Excuse me? Come again?
And we'll talk with John Martin of 92.9 ESPN in Memphis at 7:30 for the Daily Ticker to get the read on what the hell happened there.
They might have home court advantage in the Western Conference playoffs.
We'll see about that.
We'll see. They're a game behind L.A.
How about this? Major League Baseball's opening weekend of festivities. We have a lot we can get to, I think, in this regards. A couple things that stand out. One, only two teams in Major League Baseball history have lost their opening series in 3 straight walk-off fashion. The 1924 Pirates and the 2025 Pirates. Go Pirates.
Their bullpen's not very good.
The Pirates suck. The
Hallstein's already looking to get out of there.
Get me out of here.
The L.A. Dodgers through 5 games in 2025 are 5-0, 30-plus runs scored, 20-plus walks drawn, 10-plus home runs hit, 55-plus strikeouts on the mound, 0 errors committed. It's the first time a Major League Baseball team has done all of that in any 5-game span in the history. And the New York Yankees have torpedoes that they swing now with their giant arms, and they scored 36 runs.
15 home runs.
Just beat the Brewers into the ground this weekend.
Did you see the start of the Saturday game?
I did. 3 straight.
Yeah.
Back to back to back.
Oh, God.
Hello, Nestor Cortez.
Welcome back
to
New York.
Team.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodger note, it just, like, nobody's ever done that in a 5-game span. It's just stupid. They're cheating. The Yankees are thinking, hey, if they're going to cheat, why don't we find a way to cheat? So let's cheat, too. So we got 2 cheating teams that we're probably going to meet again in the World Series.
One of the players in that lethal Yankee lineup, you talk about torpedo bats. Aaron Judge has hit 4 homers in his last 7 at-bats. He is the lone wolf not using a torpedo bat. He says, my arms are torpedoed.
Yes. I don't need
a
torpedo
bat. They will swing fast enough, thank you.
I love her.
I mean, how long until...
the Yankees, but I do like me some Aaron
Judge.
He's
very likable.
That was a pretty funny quote. I know that they got this all approved from Major League Baseball, and it was all on the up and up, and they didn't just, you know, spring this on and bring some illegal bats into a game. So it's all been cleared by the sport. How long does it take for this to continue until they do something about it?
Is this the tush push?
This is the legal thing. This is the legal thing, but should it be legal?
How difficult is it for other teams to
Matt Olson said after the Braves lost, because they're 0-4.
They can't score any runs.
He was like, you know, I'm probably going to try these now.
And the Mariners still can't hit worth a lick. Why don't we go get some torpedo bats in Seattle,
They
can't score runs against the A's.
Obnoxious amount to create these or something?
These are Major League Baseball teams.
No. But who's ever making these bats or whatever technology is being used to design and engineer the bats, is it like absurdly cost prohibitive for most MLB teams? Or
what baseball team can't afford to buy new bats?
Yeah, I mean,
well, that's what I'm asking.
I mean, you're just shifting the wood. It's essentially a physics thing where they're taking the wood out of the end of the bat,
but is
where
it
you
like
don't hit
ending
the ball.
Up costing like, you know, $2,500 a bat or something?
What
obnoxious?
Does that cost a baseball team?
I mean, I would
team?
Hope that wouldn't be a limitation for
I
any team.
Think
I would
so.
Say A's, Rays, Pirates, and maybe Mariners would not want to pay for that.
No, we're trying to save our money. We need some more crickets in our concession stands.
No,
and that's
I
where
think this one is. Yeah, other MLB teams, come on.
Yeah, this is one
Welcome
of those interesting
aboard.
Things to
we'll
watch.
We'll make one for you, too.
In the next couple of weeks, if we get, if other teams start doing this and home runs are just getting cranked out left and right.
Well, are we going to talk about this are they still going to do this in a week? What if they have a weekend where they don't score 20 runs in a game and 36
and 3? Some of the stuff can be fluky, for sure.
That's what I'm saying is, like,
they're also playing in a softball field where some of these are pop flies to right field, and you're like, look at that. Okay, that was 247 feet, but somehow it was a home run.
I know it's like 4 games or 3 games in for most teams this season. It's a long year. I just got a real Yankee Dodger feel, doesn't it? Just like, oh God, these two teams.
Look, I still don't trust the Yankees starting rotation, but if they hit 27 home runs a game, they'll be okay. I don't know if that will continue all year. To your larger point, their best pitcher is out for the rest of the year already, and so we'll see how the rotation holds up throughout the course of the year. There is nothing better. And everybody's had a little bit of it other than his cheating organization and his fandom.
Hey.
Everybody's had that brief panic moment in opening weekend, and I love that. I love the early season baseball. 3 or 4 games into the season, having some grandiose takeaway. Mariner fans, when they lost 2 games in a row to Oakland after...
They split with the
They
A's.
Probably should have lost on opening day, but they came back late and then won an ugly game
yesterday.
Julio saved them yesterday. Their offense stinks. They can't get a hit. They're the same team they were last year. Right. Who could have seen that coming? I saw some of that freak out. My team lost a game, blowing a lead on Friday or Saturday, whatever day it was. I'm like, damn it, what happened? Bullpen sucks. Your team hasn't even won a game yet. You guys can't score a run. You already have the internal freakout, and there's only 158 games to go. That's my favorite thing about Major League Baseball.
That Padre team would scare me if I was a Doyers fan.
Padres are good.
That Padre team
I
got to
look
good.
And see when the first series is.
My God, every guy that comes up to play it, I'm like, well, he's the 7th hitter in this lineup? It's ridiculous.
They're a good team, man. They traded away. I mean, they had Juan Soto in that lineup 2 years
Crazy.
Ago, man. It's wild.
Major League Baseball off to a nice little start. Torpedo bats and Dodgers are breaking history. Loaded second hour. There is a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. We will get to the NFL dealings. Everybody's hot and bothered about Tush Push. There was a fight reportedly between Sean McVay and Howie Roseman.
Should be exciting debate tomorrow when it comes up
baby.
For discussion.
The numbers of the Tush Push came out, and it was alarming.
There's a one team and a 1A, and then there's everybody
there's
else.
There's no, but I even them. This isn't being used, and this has become a lightning rod conversation in the National Football League. And so we'll get to that. Dion with a nice little weekend for him and his family and future generations of Sanders. My God, they got paid. And of course, the most obvious thing to do, and this group doesn't do it because they're stupid. So we'll get to that as well. It is a loaded second hour, Dirt and Sprague, hour 2 on the Odyssey app, The Fan, and YouTube.